Ahoy hoy, and here we go. We're talking about Super Nintendo World on this week's episode of the Diz Unlimited Universal Show. Hello, everyone. I am Craig Williams, and today I am joined alongside by Rhino.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking about the latest news for Universal Epic Universe here at the Universal Orlando Resort, because we have details on what we can expect from Super Nintendo World, one of the five areas, lands, portals, experiences that you'll be able to find at Universal Epic Universe when it opens in 2025. Before we get to that, I want to remind you this is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. If you like our content, you want to support us, book a vacation through Dreams Unlimited Travel. It costs you no extra money and you get the support of one of the great Dreams Unlimited Travel agents. So head over to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com today for a free, no obligation quote. And this is also brought to you by our Patreon supporters. If you want to get exclusive content from the Diz team, head over to patreon.com/DizUnlimited. Now, let's jump into it. I think we are going to start with what I consider to be some of the more exciting news first, and that's learning about everything that's going to be in Donkey Kong Country.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's obviously no surprise here that Super Nintendo World has already been open in Universal Studios Japan as well as Universal Studios Hollywood. And Universal Studios Hollywood is kind of a more subdued version of the version that will be at Epic Universe and that is at Universal Studios Japan, but there's not really a lot of surprises with the Super Mario Land section in there. But Donkey Kong Country, man, I am pumped for it.
I know
for people watching, they're like, are you pumped while you're sitting there in a Transformers shirt? The one, same one Rhino happened to wear today, and then I made him change? You're absolutely right. But I am very, very excited for both. I've only been able to experience Super Nintendo World at Universal Studios Hollywood just like a little bit, as in we walked inside and we looked around at it. Rhino showed us some of the unique areas, but didn't get to eat a Toadstool, didn't get to do Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge. I basically did the Cliff Notes experience of, hey, what if you walk in and everything's so busy that you do nothing? That's what I did. So before we jump into Donkey Kong, even Rhino, I do want to ask, like, how do you feel about Super Nintendo World in Hollywood? And are you excited that we get it a more robust version here in Orlando because of not only Donkey Kong, but also the addition of having Yoshi's Adventure, which is in Japan, but we don't have in Hollywood?
Yeah, I am very excited. I enjoyed my time at Universal Hollywood. I've been a couple of times since it opened. I thought I was just going to go the one time, and I ended up there three times, one of them with you, with some friends, the other two times. And the first time I went, I tried to do everything. Like, I tried to experience everything. So I did the Mario Kart attraction twice. And I do think it has a little bit of a learning curve to it because there is no other real like attraction I can compare it to.
Yeah.
It is a slow moving dark ride, but it does involve you using this like AR headset that like you kind of like have to look around. Like, your head is your steering wheel essentially, but there is also a steering wheel, and so it has a lot of fun re-rideability to it. But the problem is it's so popular, it had like, when I was there, it had like 8-hour waits. And so I did single rider lines, or I got there first thing in the morning, but that was a lot of fun. So I'm excited for that. I had the opportunity to experience all of the Toadstool Cafe and ate quite a bit of the food that it had to offer, and I enjoyed that as well. And I think the merchandise is really the thing that's,
yeah,
like, you can like, if you're watching this, I mean, just behind us, I have some of the, like, there's a star popcorn bucket that like detaches from the popcorn bucket and lights up and glows, you know. And then there's there's a Toadstool Cafe that's a bowl of soup. The soup bowl, which is cute. So these aren't staying here. These are coming back to my house. And like the plushes, these two plushes are from Super Mario World and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's like tons of the shirt. I bought a power-up band. It's like there's interactivity. There's merchandise. There's food. There's the theming there. I'm excited for the one here because it seems like there's going to be more space. I would say that the Universal Hollywood one is definitely on a really busy day because I think this is going to be such a popular land here too. It's hard, that functionality, if it's like overflowing, it becomes a little stilted. And so I look forward to us having that space. I mean, you can already tell in some of the concept art that here I think we enter and then go down and then up. Like, whereas at Hollywood, you kind of come in, and then once you're inside of the attraction for Bowser's Is it Bowser's
Mario
Challenge?
Mario Kart, Bowser's Challenge, you know.
You go up, you know, in there. But it's interesting to see in these little concept arts, like, how the land kind of differs a little bit. But the Yoshi ride looks super cute.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten to experience that yet, obviously. Donkey Kong was my jam growing up,
though.
I obsessed with these games. Every time one of those came out, it was like, it was all I wanted all year for the Super Nintendo. And, like, I have a Super Nintendo hooked up in my house, and I've just started to replay it again because I was like, you know, I love the music and everything. Like,
yeah, that was our first video game console, was a Super Nintendo. Yeah. We didn't have a Nintendo, so
we had a Nintendo, but Super Nintendo changed the game.
Yeah, we got a bundle that came with, I believe, the Super Mario All-Stars. Super Nintendo World was our first game, mm-hmm. or Super Mario World. Mario Paint,
playing that
game with a little mouse pad.
I do remember being like, why do people do this?
I loved it. And then, of course, Aladdin, which I felt like that every kid had to have either Aladdin or Lion King if you were also a Disney fan too.
Oh, I know, it's crazy.
And people say like the Sega Aladdin was better, but I'm team Super Nintendo, obviously, in that way. But I love that console. And honestly, Donkey Kong changed it for me. Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy. I can't even remember the name now,
so
I'm terrible with that. But those games I had on constant rotation. I loved them so, so much. So Donkey Kong Country for me is really what I am most excited about. But just even beyond that, I'm so excited to be able to get to see and do everything. I've heard all the stories from you. I've seen it from everyone who's been able to actually experience it in Hollywood. My mom even got to do Super Nintendo World before me. And she's like, Mario Kart? It was interesting. It was a lot going on.
It's hard to learn. Yeah. It really, like, because there is nothing, there really isn't another attraction like it. And so it's hard because they also explain all the directions as, like, in, like, that Nintendo Wii sort of Mii format, which is great because it's like, okay, this kind of helps with, like, language barriers and things like that. But it is also that moment where it's kind of like, well, we're not going to use a lot of words because we don't think people even understand what we're saying.
Yeah.
So you, like, kind of learn. But that's the thing is, like, I was like, I can't wait for this to be in Orlando when I'm able to really go and be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go and I'm going to do this attraction and sort of stuff. And I think we're going to have the best version of this land. I maybe Japan, because I feel like they also have the footprint, but I'm very excited that we get, I think the that we have the benefit of, like, space.
Yeah. Domestically, we will definitely have the superior land, but I can't speak about Japan. Maybe we'll be lucky enough to go afterwards and then be like,
someday,
compare
maybe.
And contrast in that way. But let's actually get into the meat and potatoes here. And like I said, we're going to start with Donkey Kong Country because I think that's really what the news is in any of this. And there's going to be a lot of press release reading here. So buckle up. I know that's not everyone's favorite. Don't go bananas over this. But here we go with Donkey Kong Country. At the edge of Super Mario Land, guests will discover an entrance that leads them to Donkey Kong Country, where they'll explore the lush tropical landscape from the video game series, complete with tall trees, waterfalls, landmarks such as the Golden Temple, and more. Minecart Madness. Guests will hop into a minecart and careen through the jungle to help Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong protect the coveted golden banana on this first-of-its-kind family coaster. Utilizing an unprecedented ride system, innovative technology, and a unique coaster design, Minecart Madness will send riders on a thrilling adventure where they will experience the jaw-dropping maneuvers that they've seen Donkey Kong and the minecarts perform in the video games, including getting blasted out of a barrel, seemingly jumping over gaps as they speed along a rickety track, and so much more. And, I mean, I remember when the permits first came out for this ride system way, way back when, and it's like, oh my gosh, they're actually figuring out a way to translate the minecart level in Donkey Kong Country into a real attraction. And we already know, we've seen it testing out there on the track. You know, people have posted photos, videos of it. Looks incredible. I mean, honestly, the one thing you have to say, yes, because of the ride mechanism, the track being under the minecart you're riding in, from looking at it from a different perspective, it looks exactly what it looks like, that your roller coaster is on an arm that is sticking up and out. But I 1,000% believe that the experience while you're on it, you are going to feel like you truly are jumping the track.
Yeah.
And that's all I want. I want the on-ride experience to be incredible. I don't care if it looks a little bit, you know, cheesy from the outside. mana E from the outside, maybe. I don't know how that goes there. But this was like my favorite level. I played it over and over again.
Oh, this one gave me stress. The anxiety of, you know, you'd have to do the double jump, or when you'd have to jump to the lower track.
Like, and then when the one random cart would just start coming at you, and you'd be like,
with the crocodiles. They do that weird part. Yeah. Like, but it was just one of those, because you can't slow it down. You can't, like, whatever. It's just like madness. Like, it just goes.
Yeah. For me, I personally believe that this, in terms of Super Nintendo World as a whole, nothing against Mario Kart, I think this is the marquee attraction.
Yeah, 1,000%. And not to be rude, I know a lot of people, Mario Kart is the number one thing for them. That, for me, I am the basic Mario game. So whatever the game was that came with the system. So like Super Mario World, for sure. And I'm literally playing it right now. I'm like halfway through. Except Mario 64? I don't know. But I like those base games. So I'm not as excited about Mario Kart because I hadn't really played a lot. It also was, I was just bad at it. So I was like, But that's why I'm like, I'll master the attraction.
Yeah.
But the Donkey Kong thing is the cherry on top for me.
I love Mario Kart too, so it's nothing against it. But I've seen enough from the attraction from the outside, not having experienced it. I know the experience is going to be different. But for me, just looking at it, I'm like, this isn't a marquee ride. Something like Donkey Kong, for me, that's what I look for. And that's the beauty of it, though, is that everyone is looking for something different. And
it's nice because they have the coaster, they have the Mario Kart and the Yoshis, like for the young kid. Exactly. You know what I mean? But the cool thing with this land, and I don't know anything about how it'll work in Donkey Kong Land, if it even does, is those power-up bands.
It will.
Okay. I was going to say, I was like, I tried to do all the games when I was at Hollywood, because there's like a bunch of games involved in the land that open a new attraction, and they're like, technically it's not really an attraction, it's another game. But I was like, I don't know, it felt like an attraction to me.
Yeah, that'll be the last thing we cover as we go through here, but yes, it will be part of Donkey Kong Country as well too. The last thing they really we get there, if you watched the video that Universal Creative put out, they also confirmed there will be no screens used in the Minecart Madness, which that's awesome. I mean, anything to make it as practical as possible, that's what I want. So I'm hoping that means we got a Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong animatronic.
Something else I'm excited for is like the meet and greet, like a Donkey Kong meet and greet. So if there is an animatronic or of those kids, well, because the flyover, the animated flyover video, or I don't even know, not that video, but the other video they released where they took you through some of the details, it shows, I mean, I don't know if it's there, but it shows the girl who could flip her hair. She's on the ride track in the vehicle, in the thing. I mean, she's just an animated character.
Well, now it's just an animated thing. Is it Trixie Kong?
There very well could be. Yeah. Like little figurines, at least. I don't know. Yeah. As far as animatronics, but yeah.
I would like that. So beyond Minecart Madness in this Donkey Kong area, they also say a selection of tropical menu and merchandise offerings in the middle of the jungle, all inspired by the Donkey Kong Country video game franchise and its characters. More details will be shared in the coming months.
A lot of ties.
Those. And yeah, you could see you could see the shops and food in the flyover video that was released. But I'm excited that we still have more details that we get to sink our teeth into with Donkey Kong Country, but that's just that area. And you know, it sounds like there's not a ton, but I'm okay with it, because for me, minecart.
Well, and it just gives more space to the whole land, which is nice. And if it you know, in again, not sorry to go keep going back to the animated flyover, there is a shot where the rhino comes out of the thing. So I'm wondering if there are going to be games in that area. I mean, maybe not, but why would the rhino be popping out of that?
Hey.
But I, you know, then maybe the other animals, we could see those too somewhere throughout the land. But the thing that really drew me back about that I was kind of like, oh wow, taken aback by when I went to Universal Studios Hollywood, is how much life and motion there is in the Super Nintendo world. So I'm hoping that carries through over into the Donkey Kong part of it.
I absolutely will. And hey, you bring up the animated flyover as much as you want, because you're editing it.
I already did. It's already on
this show too.
Oh, I'm gonna push that. Okay.
Sorry, I was going to ask you after we were finished talking about it all. So, sorry, Rhino. Okay. Yeah, we're never going to hear about the animated flyover ever again now for the rest of this.
I'm not mentioning anything
but
anymore.
But no more mentioning. We're just not talking about the rest of this. But moving into Super Mario Land, let's go over these details here, starting with the attractions, of course, and the big one that we've already talked about, Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge. Guests are invited to join Team Mario and battle Team Bowser for the Golden Cup in this groundbreaking attraction that fuses augmented reality, projection mapping, technology, and elaborate environments to bring the fun of the Mario Kart video game series to life in a compelling ride-through experience. So as Rhino mentioned, a kind of slow-moving dark ride, but made more thrilling with the use of the augmented reality goggles that you'll wear during the attraction, brings in the gameplay element to it all. And as he said, there is going to be a learning curve to it. And yeah. That's, you know, I'll let you say.
Well, it's hard because the reality of it is the actual physical environments that you're traveling through to experience this are so cool looking at Hollywood. It's hard to, it's like you got to ride it once to be like, wow, look at everything. Yeah. Like I'm in that, like where all the ghosts are. Now I'm in the Rainbow Bridge and like all these like kind of very iconic locations. But then the reality, you're trying to look at a screen right in front of you too, to be like, oh God, I'm not playing the game right now. Like, so, but it's, that's what I like about it though. I think that's really cool that you can keep riding. And I'm interested to see if there are secrets and things you could unlock that I haven't learned yet.
Yeah. I'm not excited for it. It's just, this is like almost in all of Epic Universe outside of like the off the shelf attractions. Like, you know, we talked about the spinning one in How to Train Your Dragon, like stuff like that. I'm not super pumped about it, even if it works with the theme and in the areas, but with like big attractions, major attractions, I think this is the one that I'm least excited for, just because it feels a little bit been there, done that. But at the same time too, I'm more of a coaster guy, I guess, and or more of a thrill guy, and this just I don't know if it blends what I want. But
also it's the ability to be able to go to the other coast to go to it. So it's like, I don't want to say the ease of going to it, but you've had the option.
Exactly. And that's why I do think Yoshi's Adventure will actually be something that's a highlight for me. The delightful Yoshi's Adventure attraction will make its U.S. debut when Super Nintendo World opens at Universal Epic Universe. On this family-friendly ride, guests of all ages will enjoy breathtaking views of Super Mario Land as they join Yoshi's and travel through Mushroom Kingdom landscapes in search of glowing eggs, encountering many familiar characters along the way. I think Universal needs to make more slow moving rides like this that are more family friendly, more for everyone, without necessarily, again, like the use of like augmented reality to try to make it better. That's why I go back to stuff like High in the Sky Seuss Trolley Train Ride in E.T., because sometimes you can't just beat a simple attraction that just, no thrills, it is what it is, but you know, at the same time, that's sometimes a nice little escape.
Yeah.
You know, not when you have to wait like an hour for it, you're like, that's it. But in general, I'm very excited to ride on a Yoshi, one of them.
Oh yeah, I mean, the blue one was the best one, but the this definitely feels like a preschool ride for me, because I think it's like you're looking for three eggs. There's buttons you press and stuff along the way. And like, I'm sure it works with the power up band. I'm sure it's going to look cool. And I agree. I think it's nice. It definitely helps bring in that full family element there.
And here's the thing. There's plenty of people out there watching, listening to this right now saying, you say it's a preschool ride. Guess what? It's perfect for both of you then, because that's about what level you're at.
You bunch of babies.
You babies. So Yoshi's Adventure, very exciting getting the chance to do that. Rhino's already mentioned Toadstool Cafe, but let's go over that. At Toadstool Cafe, guests can enjoy a variety of tasty dishes inspired by the world of Super Mario and its characters, including Mario and Luigi themed burgers, Super Mushroom Soup, Piranha Plant Caprese, Fire Flower Spaghetti, and Meatballs, and so much more. And guests will also get glimpses of several toads cooking up culinary creations through various virtual windows as they dine inside the restaurant. Now, I would like them to actually have Toad on the menu, but I understand their progression away from that. I mean, so that might not be for everyone out there, but I'd be okay with it.
I thought toads were poisonous.
Some are. Okay. I think the cane toad is poisonous here in Florida. You don't want your dogs to even like sniff.
Yeah.
Or they'll expire. But you know, I where's the Princess Peach Cobbler? Is that on the menu? It should be.
That's a good one there.
But I guess that would be like cutting Princess Peach open and eating her insides.
That's wrong.
I'm assuming Nights, that Princess guess, yeah. Peach is made up of peaches.
Of cobbler.
Okay, that's enough of my bad jokes that make Rhino feel uncomfortable.
They sure do.
Any last second thoughts on Toadstool Cafe?
Call me by your name, Princess Peach.
I'll call you by mine.
No, Toadstool Cafe, I've dined there like twice, I think. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I know you raved about it a lot to me, saying like you have to go, and hopefully we'd be able to get in when we went to Hollywood together to try it, but we just were not planning well enough to be able to do that. So I am hoping I'll still get to Hollywood before this opens, so that way I can have some of the food here. Very excited for it. And something that I do believe that is also going to be new for Universal Orlando in terms of the domestic parks, Yoshi's Snack Island and Turbo Boost Treats. Guests can pick up delicious treats, snacks, and beverages. Walk-up dining locations. Hmm. Do they have anything like that in Hollywood?
They added something in Hollywood since the last time we've been. Really? That is outside of the land, I think. So, I mean, I know the merchandise was selling like crazy. So there's like three or four merchandise shops. But I'm pretty sure on the upper lot they added an area where you can get snacks. There were definitely drinks, like because there's these like special themed drinks that have like, you know, like little piranha plants or stars in them and stuff like that. So I don't know if that's what it's called there or not. But
Yeah, I guess I missed that part of it, but I'm excited that this will be part of this land here and merchandise. We've talked a lot about it already, but you'll have 1UP Factory and Mario Motors. Guests can shop for souvenirs, apparel, toys, and more inspired by their favorite Super Mario characters and adventures within these retail locations. And
I think the merch is fun. I think they did a really good job with the merchandise.
I know. Yeah. I like a lot of it. I didn't go crazy when we were in Hollywood because I'm like, we're going to eventually get it here, so I don't need to buy it out there. I'll wait till it is in Orlando.
I think a lot of it was like park specific branded either.
No, I mean, that's obviously designed this way now, and we know that Nintendo wanted a lot of their they want a lot of their stuff in there, so I'm okay with everything that everything that's been released so far. And I did pick up one shirt, but it's a long sleeve shirt, so not good for a 90 degree day here in Central Florida, but I love it. Our friend Andrew designed it. It's beautiful. So I think that there's so much merchandise that I wanted, and I walked around and I'm like so jealous that I didn't get it, including like I think we walked in three or four stores, and every time we walked in I'm like, maybe I should just get a power band now, and I didn't. So
you could be like me and only bring it the one time and forget it every other time. That's the difficulty with those. But there's these like cups that I want that are never there. They're in the window and they're like never there. And they also, I wanted a larger size Bowser, but all I could get was this one. And I should have gotten a smaller Yoshi, and I wanted the big Bowser, but he wasn't there either. I'm sure it comes and goes, you know, like the hats were really popular, like where you wear his head, and those were gone. And then there, I think I seen them like come back and stuff. So it's great. It's like, you know, it's waves and stuff, but it is also that, you know, well, I don't know.
Okay. We'll get to power bands again in just a second. Obviously, want to remind people too that there will be meet and greets that happen inside of Super Nintendo World. So Mario, Luigi, Peach. Yeah. So you're gonna have a chance to meet the people that you want to meet.
Toad was there too.
I think they added him like right before we went, like, but we didn't get to see him while we were in there.
The chef, or he was the regular. I think it was the regular.
Yeah,
Toad,
I know that was like it was either right after we went or right before they announced him, and it was like, but even the lines to meet these characters
crazy.
Were insane.
Yeah, crazy.
So there was just no chance. But that's why I mean it's awesome. I hope that there's characters everywhere in Epic Universe. And finally, power up bands inside of Super Nintendo World. So the wearable band allows guests to enhance their play throughout both Super Mario Land as well as Donkey Kong Country. Guests collect digital coins by punching blocks and playing interactive activities, collect digital stamps on attractions, earn digital keys to unlock an exclusive showdown against Bowser Jr., and discover other hidden surprises. And I feel like you already did a great job at kind of explaining you wear the band, it's connected to your app, and it gets it allows you to, you know, as they said, as you said, it allows you to open up a challenge and another extra attraction in a way, because you have to play your way through it. But it just, it allows you to, you know, compete with other people in the park. It allows you to compete with yourself. And
well, there's the game you can't do unless you've done and completed successfully like six of the games or something like that. And so it was like, it's cool. But I was thinking about it where I was like, it's a really interesting edge on it where it, you know, people bring up Harry Potter interactive wands. It's like completely different, because I think those are like, oh, you're going to get a wand. You don't have to get an interactive wand, but you could. And it adds a little special something to the wand itself, you know, whereas this is kind of, I don't want to say it's absolutely essential, but it feels pretty essential, because if like, you really, other than like tapping a coin, you can't really do any of the other stuff. I mean, you can't really play the games without. You can play the games. I shouldn't say that. You can play the games, but you're just playing to play. You're not gonna. You're not accruing anything. And so the full experience of this land really does come down to this band, you know, that you're wearing. And there's like puzzles to be solved and things to unlock that are cool. What I really like about that is I hope in the future we see that maybe in more places, you know, where, because these, it's not even, it's, you know, if you're doing the Disney ride system of like A, B, C, D, E, it's not even, these aren't even on that level of attraction. It's just another thing where you're like, well, there's a wall there.
Yeah.
What could we do for that wall to make it more interesting for somebody who doesn't want to wait in line for there or there? And so I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, no, I definitely love the idea of the power-up band the same way I love the wands. And I like that it adds an extra level to it. Do I hate that it costs so much money to be able to get that experience? Yes, absolutely. I almost wish that there was like a rental style where you could just like rent a band for, you know, $5
like,
or something.
Like a Volcano Bay, like, how they give you the one.
Exactly. Yeah. Something like that, where it's just like, hey, you know, I can't afford $50 for a power-up band, and I don't know how much I'll use it. Can I please just like have
$50?
One? I think they were $40. Yeah, 40, so I'm assuming there will be $50 by the time they make it here for everything with our parks. But I just wish there was something like an affordable option, some way that you could allow someone to be able to still get that full experience without requiring them to go in. Because, as you know, I know you're kind of like toeing the line on it, but we walked in with no power-up bands, and it was cool watching other people get to use them and how they played. But then it was like, okay, well, if you don't have it, you really are just watching other people. You can hit some stuff and see some of the effects, and that's it. It's done with there. So I do wish that there was another little thing. And I'm sure some people say, well, don't be cheap. Just do it. I feel the same way about the wands.
Don't be cheap. It costs like $200 to go to a park.
Exactly. I feel the same way about the wands. I wish there was some way that it could be like everyone can do it without necessarily making the investment. But, you know, it's a business. They have to make a profit.
Well, like the team members that are there, maybe they should have one.
Yeah.
And they can hand it to them and then hand it back.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, you don't, you know, it's and even a thing. Like, I don't know how it would even work, because then, too, you don't want them to take advantage of it, run away with it. So it's a dumb idea on my part. I'm sorry I brought it up. I it's something I think about that keeps me up at night, never. But I think overall we painted a good picture of Super Nintendo World with Super Mario Land as well as Donkey Kong Country. I think people are very, very excited for this. I know for many people, they grew up on Nintendo. This was such an important part of their childhood. So this is
it's generational. It spans that like thing. That's the thing about Nintendo, is it's been so accessible for people of all ages, especially when they made that Wii system. So it's really kind of cool to see this culmination come into a, you know, tapping into that theme park realm.
And I'm excited that they finally talked about it for Epic Universe, because to me, this was the least excited land I was to hear about, because we already know so much about it. So we've now heard about How to Train Your Dragon, Isle of Berk, Celestial Park, Super Nintendo World. So the last two, we're going to have to buckle up on Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Ministry of Magic, as well as a Dark Universe. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. I am super pumped for Epic Universe. Rhino, thanks for having this conversation.
Hey, I don't know. I was trying to say something Super Nintendo themed.
Rhino.
It's a me. Thank you.
Okie dokie. I think you just offended every Italian out there. Wahoo. Mushroom Kingdom, here we come.
Mushroom Kingdom, here we come.
Whoa, I didn't realize Garfield was in the room here.
Oh, sorry. That's a lasagna, here we come.
Oh, fantastic. So thank you, everyone. so much for tuning in to hear about Super Nintendo World at Universal Epic Universe. And of course, if you're getting ready to start making your plans to head out to Super Nintendo World and Universal Epic Universe when it opens sometime in 2025, you want to start planning ahead, get together with a Dreams Unlimited travel agent right now to get those plans in place. So again, dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, and that really does support us and keep us able to make this content. Please also head over to patreon.com/DizUnlimited, and you can get exclusive content from Rhino, myself, and other members of the Diz team. And if you're watching this on YouTube, hit the thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, leave comments, questions, video suggestions in the comments section. And if you're listening to this, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us ratings and reviews when possible. But that is going to do it for this awesome episode of the Diz Unlimited Universal Show. Thank you so much again for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon. Next time we're talking Universal Orlando. But take care. Bye-bye. Remember, we still haven't changed the name. Oh, wait, we did change the name.
We did.